985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Vin Scully is synonymous with Los Angeles Dodger baseball. He covered the team for 95 years. He was like 18 when he got the job, and he was 90 when he left it. So suffice it to say, he can look back and go, what an incredible amount of wasted time.
You know what's weird about Vin Scully is that his kind of going away thing was just all around odd. Like, everything that they, like, I don't know if anybody really thought through how they were going to say goodbye to a legend, but I do know that last year during the World Series, remember when they had him come out and throw the first pitch?
Yes.
Okay, all right. And do you remember how it was him who, like, did the play-by-play of his own first pitch? Let's take a listen.
All right, Scully. You're in front of this big crowd. There's a lot of pressure. You've been practicing for a week. Don't mess up. Oh, I need a catcher. No, a catcher. I don't need a Scully. I need a catcher. Is there a catcher anywhere around here?
I mean, it was just like
many great Dodgers catchers.
He's on the mound, and he's just like, look at anybody got a catch. And I kind of felt bad for the guy, and it was horribly awkward standing there with a microphone. He didn't know where the camera was. He didn't know where to look.
Well, it's funny, like, ladies and gentlemen, you know, there's been a lot of great Dodgers. I need a catcher. Where's the catcher? Ladies and gentlemen. Steve Yeager.
All right.
Well, obviously, a lot of people not living in the area anymore.
And then there was the way he said goodbye. And remember, he stood in the booth, and what they played over the speakers, what he, I think it was his choice to do this, was to play audio of him singing. It was like a recording that he had made singing a Bette Midler song.
So I was the one with all the glory.
Went on, and it was like horribly long.
A beautiful face.
There's a point where you gotta tell the guy, all right, just maybe this isn't the greatest idea.
It's like no one had a real plan on how they're. I mean, the guy's a legend. You should have thought of something other than this.
We had 40 million years to figure it out.
He's just standing, like, waving.
Is it Steve Yeager's in the background?
When are they going to call my name?
When are they going to call my name?
And it kept going and going.
And Tommy Lasorda comes out with pasta hanging out of his mouth.
Did you see Lasorda jumping around the locker room where they're doing the show? I mean, he's in his 90s, and he was, like, jumping all around with those guys after they won the NLCS.
Well, it gives you faith that you, no matter what your lifestyle, that you can live a long time.
All right. So any guesses to how old Vin Scully is? Any guesses?
All right. So he did it. He did it for a long time. He was with Brooklyn when they were there. And now you tell me that they moved in the 50s.
Yeah, 57, 58, something like that.
So 60 years.
Did he call him in Brooklyn?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to guess that, okay, so 60.
He got the job
10.
In his early 20s.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to guess that he is 87.
I know the answer to this.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. He's 90.
All right.
He's 90 years old. So we're going to do over under Vin Scully. I'm going to give you a celebrity, and you tell me if they're indeed older than Vin Scully. Not many. It was tough to find some.
Not easy pickings.
To be quite honest.
Not easy pickings.
Okay. It's like going berry picking in a frost.
All right.
Okay. A few.
Interesting. Some words.
Let's.
It's going to be. It should just be who's not dead.
Yeah. So I will give you the name, and you tell me they're older or younger than Vin Scully, okay?
Yeah.
Let's start with. Jimmy Carter.
All right, Jimmy Carter.
Ex-President Jimmy Carter.
All right, so he was president in the late 70s.
This is close, too.
He had to be 50.
Yeah. We're all close.
No, I mean, but what I'm saying is like
2 years,
yeah, one way or another.
Well, that guy's way older than Vince Carter.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta figure that.
Well, if Michael Douglas is in this, I feel safe in saying over. Well, but
that would be Kirk Douglas.
Kirk Douglas, sorry.
By
Kirk
the way,
Douglas.
Real quick, you know how old Kirk Douglas is?
99.
Higher.
No!
Really?
Higher. All right. Well, I would have stuck the landing on this
one. Was he in Spartacus?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, of course he was.
Spartacus.
He was like 40 when he did Spartacus.
He's 101.
Right, he was in the first talkie.
Yeah, he was in Birth of a Nation.
Yes, he's 101. Yeah. 101 years old.
Yeah.
All right, so we're guessing Jimmy Carter. All right,
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Older or younger than Vince Scully?
All right, so president late 70s, let's say he was 50 when he became president. That would be...
You'd have to go over 40, if that was the case. Because that was 40 years ago.
I'm going
to
say over.
I'm going to say close, but under.
Freddie T, 94 years old.
Yeah, he ain't dying.
94. All right, let's go to Jerry Stiller.
Oh, Jerry Stiller.
The dad, whose dad in Seinfeld was it? It was George's.
George's
dad in Seinfeld.
And then he reprised the role for Kevin with Kevin James and played the exact same character.
Pretty much.
Ben Stiller's father.
Yep, Jerry Stiller.
I'm going under.
Yeah, I'm going to say he's 85.
Ah! 91. Wow. Older
Jesus
than Vince Scully. God. I know. 91 right. years old.
Okay.
When did he stop doing TV? Just only like five
last
years
year.
Ago, right? Oh, last year. Right,
I don't know. Right.
Whenever
I don't
know. King, not he. I mean, in his
80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Bob Barker of The Price is Right fame. Over
he's
under.
He's alive?
Yes.
He's alive.
He's alive.
Oh, he's got to be over by a lot. He's got to be like 100.
Yeah, I'll say over.
Yeah, he's 94. 94 years old.
Yeah, he was... I mean, when you have to quit The Price is Right, chances are that you're pretty old. Not a lot of effort goes into that.
Clint Eastwood.
Over.
No way.
If he's not, he should be. He's over.
No, he's
over. He looks 105, he's but he, I'm saying over.
I'm saying he's 87.
Freddie T, 84. Very young.
He looks
young
104. Yes.
Right. Very young looking.
Looks like the Crypt Keeper.
Well, see, I'm friends with death. So I can read the faces and see how old they are.
Okay. Stan Lee in every one of the Marvel movies, the creator of Spider-Man.
He's like poaching his fortune old. I'm going to say that Stan Lee, I'm not only going to say Stan Lee is older, I'm going to say Stan Lee is 100 years old.
I'll say over.
95 years old. I interviewed him 2 years ago when he was 93, and he sounded like sharp.
Yeah, I think things have taken a little bit of a turn.
Well, he's got a horrible situation. Like, members of his family are like, I think they're like doing awful things to him, and he had to sue. Like, they were suing him for all his money. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Can you blame someone though if the guy's 94 for just trying to get a couple bucks?
Yeah, trying to get in line. You know, it's just make sure you have the inside track when he finally goes.
Yeah, you're sitting there, and it's like there's a lottery ticket in like a baby's hand.
Betty White.
Oh, she's older.
Older.
96. Angela Lansbury of Murder, She Wrote.
Older.
Wait, Angela Lansbury's still alive?
Yep, she's still older. Alive. I had to Google all these.
Now she is older, 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 now older,
this is
older.
Okay, I'll tell you why this is scary. Because she was old when she was on Murder, She
exactly.
Wrote.
She was born old.
And
yeah,
that was the 80s.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Now the question is, how old is she? I'm going to say 97.
See, I keep saying 100, but I truly believe she's 100 years old.
No, 97. She's 93, though.
How then... Boy, she looked terrible then.
No. Yeah, when she did Murder, She Wrote, she was easily 55. Easily.
Yeah, but she was supposed to be even older.
Man.
Willie Nelson.
There's a guy I thought would be dead by now.
No.
He's one of the two living highwaymen. Him and Chris Christopherson.
He smokes a tremendous amount of marijuana. In fact, he has an old West town in his backyard where you go into rooms and there's just pre-rolled joints. He's a guy whose job is to roll joints for him.
Yeah, he was the original gangster rapper.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a blunt roller before it was cool.
And he has, apparently, when you go into these like places on his old West town, they're just pre-rolled in ashtrays. He's younger. I mean, I bet you he's...
He's 50.
Suddenly I feel better.
No, yeah, he is 81 years old. James Lipton of Inside
younger,
the Actors Studio.
Younger, he's younger.
Well, no, he's sneaky old.
Come on!
Yeah.
Sneaky
no
old.
Way.
Like, really sneaky
old. How old is James Lipton?
91 years old.
Come on!
Yeah, he's sneaky Dude. Old.
Oh, yeah. Like, I saw that. I was like, that can't be right. And I had to check and make sure I wasn't, wasn't like a fake site. Yeah. He's 91 so years old.
It shows the power of kissing people's ass.
Finally, dead or alive, Bob Dole.
I'm going to say alive.
One of the great impressions by the great Norm MacDonald. Yeah,
one of the two impressions of Norm MacDonald.
I agree with that.
I think he did him and Burt Reynolds, and that was it.
Hey,
Bob Dole.
And Larry King. I will.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
I mean, he's alive. And,
he's
okay,
alive.
Can I finally get a Centurion? Can I find, that's the right term. Centurion.
No, that's not.
I think
that's
Kirk Douglas might be the
Madonna's
only person.
Fireplace.
To, that's a half man, half horse.
That's a centaur, sorry.
I'm going to say that he, can I get 100-year-old?
Yep. Boy, it's tough. I just Googled celebrities over 100, and I only got celebrities over 90.
Oh,
because
boy.
It's, okay, hang on. Which actors are 100 years old?
Well, we just did Kirk Douglas.
Oh, but they're all names you don't know. Like Claire DeBray. Like people who are like in like, what is that?
Early porn?
Like a, yeah, dude, there's like nobody that you would know over 100.
How old's Mickey Rooney? Is he still living?
He's dead.
He's dead now. Okay.
Is he dead?
I think so. He should be because he was losing it pretty bad.
I know, but I mean, he was hanging in there, so.
Oh, that DVD extra thing that he did during the Twilight Zone
yeah.
like release was excellent. Sexy things.
All right. Is Dole 100?
He's 95.
Oh, Jesus. No one's 100 anymore.
Mickey Rooney, 93.
Sexy thing.
When he passed away. When he passed away,
yeah,
he was 93.
He's dead.
What's that, Mickey Rooney?
Sexy thing.
Yeah, he was like real pissed at like nothing. It was time for Andy Rooney. It was time for Mickey Rooney to go.
It was like, what do you want to say about this episode that you were in? I don't want to say nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he was a huge prick. All right, we will be right back. Talk a little World Series.
Hang on, here's a lady, or Mickey Rooney. Here's a little Mickey Rooney from his DVD commentary of The Twilight Zone.
Mind.
Do you remember much about this episode?
No, I don't remember.
We're watching it together for the first time.
I don't care anything about it.
Yeah, so you're the creep that...
What today's audience doesn't understand, and maybe we could put this in context, you're playing a jockey, but they don't understand that for many years, anytime anybody said anything about a short, you were the butt of jokes.
Well, I'm tired of that.
Oh. What was going on with you while you were making this?
I don't remember. It's too long ago.
The younger audience, because they don't understand.
The younger audience doesn't want to see this.
That's who's watching this.
No, it isn't.
Yes,
they're watching sexy things.
The kids are watching this. That's why we're doing this. My kid is 19. He would have been with me, but he's back at Berkeley. This is what kids are watching. That's why I want to.
Well, I hope that the youngsters are watching this because it's very interesting filmatically.
Although I have no complaints.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
There's a lot of hardware down there, you know, Cy Youngs and MVPs and All-Star games and all that stuff, but there's not too many World Series rings down there. I know they're hungry for one, and, you know, they have a shot right now.
There's a drive into left field. Is that going to stay fair? Pierce is watching, and this one is fair and gone. Bradley Jr., a high fly ball to right. Reddick is at the wall.
He worked in his craft. He found a few things that he really liked about his swing. Now he understands who he is as a hitter.
How about 9 2-out RBIs in his last 3 games? And the Red Sox are in the lead.
No one's gonna take me alive. The time has come to make things right.
Runners will be off with a crack of the bat with 2 outs.
You and I must fight for.
Deep in the left field, and
Red Sox 1-0.
Everyone with hands on. That's what it was going to take in order to beat a great team like Houston.
So now in the air, left field. That is hit well. Got some carry to it. That's going to fly. And this one is gone. Rafael Devers, a three-run blast. It is 4-0 Boston.
Bradley Jr., and he is your ALCS MVP.
Some of the best fans in the world. To be bringing a World Series opportunity back to them and an American League championship back to Boston, I'm sure they're going nuts right now back there.
.985 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Game one, World Series is tonight. Enjoy yourselves. Dress warm if you had an attitude.
As I was saying, the ticket prices on the ticket scalping sites have gone down significantly from yesterday. It was $500 for the cheapest seat. And now it's down to about $360.
I don't know. That's a good question. Weird. I mean, good two really good pitchers, and nothing's changed with the lineups. I mean, what's the difference?
I think it was just the original price was what people wanted, and then they realized the demand might not have been what they thought it was going to be.
People just looked at the weather forecast and went, 38 degrees? I'm not going.
That's October in Boston.
I know. I can't think of a reason.
It's not like it's going to rain. Well, I just, as I said, the demand just wasn't what they thought it was. And I think it's that simple. But tonight it's going to be a ridiculous game. And I know that the betting odds have come out. The over under on runs is 7.5. They're saying it's going to be the Red Sox are getting the majority of the money. They are favored to win the series. I believe it's one of those where if you bet $100, you would get $75 in return. So there's your betting line for that. I wonder what the bankroll boys... Betting on baseball just seems infuriating to me. That's the one sport that I just would not want to bet on. The runs thing would be easy, but the rest of it, I just don't... It doesn't seem like a fun enough sport to bet on.
Well, I knew a guy whose strategy was to bet on every underdog, and that lasted for about 2 weeks before he was cleaned out.
It's not like the UFC, apparently, which you're supposed to do that.
Well, that's what the bankroll boys say. Yep. All right, so ESPN is ranked... Now, this is not with the final World Series rosters, but they have ranked the 50 most important players in this, and they've ranked them by their importance.
Like both teams combined?
Yes, both teams combined.
Kershaw's got to be one.
Kershaw is number four.
He's number four?
And he is listed as a legend. They sometimes give a superlative next to the purse.
You know what? I got to think Price has got to be up there.
I will tell you that David Price is...
Wow, that far down? Because without David Price, I mean, what do you got as your first two pitchers? I mean, you got Sale, who you have, is a big question mark right now.
That's why Sale's the most important.
Yeah,
Mookie
Betts is the most important.
Yeah, again, depending upon where he plays.
David Price is 19th.
Wow. Where's Sale in this?
Second.
Yeah. I mean, Sale has to pitch well.
But Sale, you kind of, I mean, does he? He didn't pitch that well in the ALCS.
If Sale is not effective, do you think the Red Sox could still win the World Series?
Yeah.
Yes.
I do.
That is the correct answer.
Yeah, which makes me think I don't think he should be that high up on the list.
Yeah, it's true. The Red Sox have skipped over every hurdle getting to this point. And you look at this series, the Dodgers have better pitching than the Red Sox. They have a better closer who hasn't been scored on in the postseason.
But they
don't have better pitching than the team the Red Sox just beat.
But their closer was not this year what he was last year.
No, he wasn't.
Some question marks.
He had a horrible August, but you look at him in the postseason, unscored upon in seven innings. I mean, he's been much better than Craig Kimbrell in the postseason.
Kimbrell's got to be high on that list. I mean, he has to be.
Craig Kimbrell is at 9.
Okay. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you think of it, if for the ALCS, they would have made a list similar to this with the Astros. Think about where the people who, like, performed the best would have been. They'd have been at the bottom of the list.
Yeah.
The expectations for Jackie Bradley Jr. were so low, but he was your most important guy
and
offensively.
And that's what I'm saying. I mean, you look at the importance and the non-importance. The Red Sox, whatever they're doing, seems to supersede every list and every stat. And as I said before, the Dodgers have better pitching than the Red Sox, but the Dodgers don't have better pitching than Houston. Dodgers have more pop in their lineup than Houston did, but they don't have more pop in their lineup than the Yankees
did. And they're very left-handed.
And the Sox beat the Yankees in 4. I mean, it doesn't seem to matter.
And the Dodgers are very left-handed, and that doesn't play into, obviously, the starters. But there are... But the bullpen, there's not an effective lefty, not necessarily in that bullpen.
Are managers on that list? Because Alex Cora seems to be the guy who's pulling all the right strings.
Well, Cora is it is not on that list, but Cora, if you look at the people that prognosticate and talk about where there's advantages, Cora is unanimously given the advantage.
Dave Roberts has his team in the World Series for a second straight year, and I think they were in third place in the division in the middle of September.
Right, they're playing catch-up, right.
Dave Roberts done a pretty good job.
Kimbrel, by the way, has been terrible in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
He's been awful. I mean,
he's got a 5.14 ERA.
Yeah, Jansen was bad for about 4 or 5 appearances in there in August, but he picked it up in September. A throwout his last appearance. It was a throwaway. But honestly, you look at it and you go, okay, it's obvious the Dodgers have the better closer.
Yeah, Kimbrel has become Marcus Smart chucking up a 3 with a game on the line. Just sit there and go, oh, my God. And if it goes in at this point, you're like, oh, thank goodness.
So we've talked a lot about how closers can just lose it and then it's over. And it happens to most of them.
Yeah.
Like, not Hoffman or Rivera, but if you look at other closers.
Yeah, 99% of all closers run into that period of time where they can't get anybody out.
Yeah, like,
This is it.
And I wonder if Kimbrel is broken and that's it.
Well, Gagne was a different thing.
I understand that, but it happened to him. Or the homeboy from the Braves that fell apart.
Well, listen, Gagne.
Todd Worrell.
Wohlers.
Wohlers.
Mark Wohlers.
Todd Worrell, rookie of the year, baby.
I forgot. Then you're going to bring up the first play at first base again. I don't want to go down there.
Well, that was one of the worst calls.
I understand, and I don't want to bring up a bad memory. But Wohlers is one of those guys, yes.
Yeah, so I wonder if Kimbrel's broken.
Well, not if Eric Gagne has anything to do with it. You know that he was the one who texted Alex Cora and said, I've noticed that he's tipping his pitches, and here's why. Gagne. And then Cora said, all right, well, you contact Kimbrel. The two of them talk together. Gagne's and I guess great. It's Gagne is the one.
That's the last
just from
guy
watching
I want to
at
mess
home.
With my closer, man.
Well, listen, Cora was like, here's his number. You should do it.
And all right.
They apparently are praising Eric Gagne for being the reason that he doesn't tip his pitch anymore.
I just remember they started drug testing, and Gagne wasn't quite the same after that.
No, he sucked. But he's the closer. He's the closer whisperer
here,
now.
They traded for him, and he came here from the Rangers.
And he vomited on his shoes.
Yeah. And he bombed like no comedian has ever bombed before. It was awful.
I wonder if this is, and I'm not being overly dramatic. We've seen this happen, which is why I don't like, even though it's worked out for the Red Sox, why I don't like when teams pump a bunch of money into a closer because you don't know how long that's going to last. And generally the contract is too long. And obviously Kimbrel's been great for them. But since he's been bad since the All-Star break, I'm wondering if that's... do you have any faith that he's going to sit there and turn it around?
What if he's somewhat injured?
No.
I mean, that's the one thing, is that he could be injured.
Well, you have to hope that's the case, because if he's not hurt, this is bad. Not only for the World Series, but it's bad for him. He's not going to get a big contract this way.
All I know is that, John, this is not the first time you've talked about Mark Worrell here on the show.
Did you see that pitch of Mark Worrell? I've never seen a guy look like he was hopped up on, I don't know, 25 glasses of soda.
Play the hits, man.
I mean, he was going nuts.
I don't even know. When was that?
It was like a Pepsi party out there.
When was that?
Had to have been pretty soon after the show started.
Yeah. No, that was right when
but
we started.
He was thinking,
it was last year.
He was thinking of amphetamines.
Me. Yeah.
And then his mind...
went to soda, because that's what I know.
Yeah, because
that's what he got crazy. Wallet got crazy.
Diet Coke, that's my wheelhouse.
When you're rolling a 20-sided die and you're getting crazy with the boys,
yep.
Sometimes you're just chugging the old tab like it's nobody's
gotta
business.
Got to think of a way to stay awake during those long sessions.
Like a Mormon bachelor party. They were shotgunning... Cokes.
You can't do that. That burns your throat on the way down. That's not a good idea.
Even the boys sat around.
Not a good idea to shotgun Coke. Trust me.
Shotgun and Coke?
Ugliness. You know, it burns. It's not good.
So he's obviously a huge question mark, and they go through everything. And would anyone care to guess who number 49 is the list, the lowest ranked? And I'm not positive he's on the World Series roster.
But, Joe Kelly?
Blake Swihart.
Okay. All right.
Is he on the World Series roster?
They'll finalize him today.
Okay.
But the debate is, what do you do? I mean, he's good as a utility guy. He can play first. He can play third. He can catch. He can play the outfield. He gives you flexibility. He can be a third catcher. In a National League ballpark where you're pinch hitting all over the place, it might be wise to have him on that roster. So that's the thing. Do you carry 12 pitchers? Do you carry 11 pitchers? And if you carry a 12th pitcher, you can't have Swihart. That's the debate here.
Yes, but there's no guarantee Swihart plays.
No, it's true. But it's a jut and break glass in case of emergency type of guy, and you might need him in a National League ballpark.
Well, you got Heath Hembree, and that's all you really need.
Well, they might replace him. It depends on if Stephen Wright's well enough to go.
Heath Hembree has got very wrestling-like hair in a constant state of wetness.
Yep.
He wets it down and
nothing
lets it
wrong
fly.
With that. Looks sexy.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying it's not sexy. He looks like Kenny Powers. All right, here are the headlines.
98.5. Toucher and Ritz.
I don't really think about that stuff. I mean, I think, you know, I appreciate the history and everything that goes along with Fenway Park, but I came here, I don't know how long ago, 2000-something. Got to at least see it, got to be here, got to appreciate, you know, the stadium and things like that, and check this one off as far as pitching tomorrow, but I don't really think about the history part of it too much, honestly.
I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan, I can die. I'm a Red Sox fan.
It'll sneak up on you. You think it's out of your head.
It really has to get to this point to get in your head.
1918, what does it mean? 1918, what does it mean?
Guitars are jamming.
86 years. Oh,
yeah.
.985 The Sports Hub. Nick, is Mark Jamil, your dad, going to stay up and watch the game?
Thumbs up.
Now, will he still have his first Manhattan at 3?
You got to move that back. You're not going to last. I mean, this game's going till like 1. So, you know, he's going to have to. How big of a shift is that, do you think? How many hours of a shift is it from first Manhattan usually till what he's going to have to move it to? Like, that's like
5 o'clock.
That's like you say 4 hours? There's no way he's going to be able to wait till 7. He's saying
4 o'clock, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, one hour. I see.
Yeah, you can't go crazy. But I like that question to Clayton Kershaw that we played about the history of Fenway Park. As if a 30-year-old is going to be, like, caught up in the magic of Fenway Park.
Tell us of the majesty. That way we can use it for a soundbite in our opening with the piano music and the grainy footage of days of yore on the old diamond.
Do you think that these guys give a rat's ass what stadium they're effing playing
in? Yes, Yasiel Puig. It's all he thinks about.
That's right. Like he's going to stand out on the mound. He's going to go, good old Fenway.
Right. It's a privilege to be here.
If the ghost could talk to me now.
If dreams do come true.
Smokey Joe Wood stood on this plot of land.
Exactly. I mean, will you get over Fenway Park already? It's a dump. First of all, it's a horrible dump. And second of all, do you think that these guys who have been billionaires since they've been 18 give a rat's ass about playing at Fenway?
Right.
What the hell kind of question is that? You know what? Yeah, I'm super jazzed up. Now, listen, I'm well known for my playoff failures, and here I am starting a game one.
Better
of the
recently,
series.
Though, but yes.
Yes, but he's well known for his playoff
failures. Yes, early in his career, sure.
Well, early in his career, not that long ago. And that his big concern is playing at that dumb Fenway.
Well, it's because that was somebody in charge of making that grainy footage montage at the beginning. And the only people who really think that way, where you walk and it's like taking the breath of fresh air, are Dan Roach and like 75-year-old guys who play acoustic guitar for the national anthem, singing about the angels of Fenway.
86 summers gone by. Bambino
overpriced beer on sale.
We were
most expensive
on
concessions anywhere in the MLB.
Oh, damn them Yankees.
The chills.
Looking up on the cream of the crop. Stealing everyone's favorite son.
Angels of Fenway here. Didn't he perform that in the booth, like, recently? And, like, the Remy and
oh, it really?
Was, I think it might have been when Arcillo was still there. They just got to sit there patiently and go, yeah, when's this going to end?
Yeah, James Taylor, another thing. Are you excited about hearing James Taylor played? No. I'm not a million.
Right, they're really doing a good job trying to get their fan base to not, like, age into death.
Well, yeah, they could have.
Well, maybe this is a big send-off. To all those fans before they die.
Like, everyone gets to see James truly Taylor turn into an angel time. And a truly angel of Fenway.
Yeah, it's a big send off.
It's like when the final pitch is there, sure. Like about like 3,000 like
it's
ghosts.
The average age voting. Of average age of baseball fans is what?
105.
So I mean,
no, isn't it
56, 57?
I think it's 57.
Okay. That now, means there are a significant portion of baseball fans in their 70s and 80s. Maybe this is it.
I wonder if Puig could just, like, rip one right at the guitar. Shatter it.
Right. It's like a Plutarski situation.
Yes. Like John, go ahead.
Hey.
Hey.
It's driving me.
I can't take a call.
Not
man.
Only is my call screener down, because it still says Jack is on, who paid $12 in 1967 for a World Series ticket.
Oh. Huh. Thank you.
That's a call you want to put right through.
Get ready to rock.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, we welcome the performer of our national anthem. Beyond the Grammys, beyond the platinum and the gold, beyond the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, this amazing singer-songwriter is known and loved throughout the world. No, no. But nowhere as much as from Stockbridge to Boston. Won't you please welcome the legendary James Taylor.
I mean,
get ready to be bored.
Oh, say, can you see?
Did he start off with the wrong song?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. No, that was America the Beautiful at the beginning. And he's like, oh, that's right.
That's right. Maybe he's back on the heroin. You never know.
That's the name of his new album.
Back on the Heroin.
It's actually just like really distorted. Trent Reznor helps out with a couple tracks.
Hey, Clayton, what do you think about pitching at Fenway Park? I'm afraid I'm going to urinate on the mound. My erection will be such as I don't know if I'll be able to handle it.
What is a World Series without Dick Flavin, though? You got to get him out there.
That's right. The Flavin's taking a break.
I wonder if there's a falling out between the Flavin and the Red Sox organization, or if he was just like Orsillo's guy. Because it seemed like ever since Dave O'Brien showed up, there's been minimal Dick Flavin.
Dick Flavin tried to get in and Dave O'Brien said, no.
Or maybe after this moment right here that I'm about to play, he like started punching like concession stand of like I was just like knocking over the thing that holds all the popcorn and the pretzels.
When you can't read a poem, I don't really know what the point of being a poet laureate is.
Yeah, it's great to have with us a Red Sox poet laureate. Dick Flavin, great to see you, Dick.
Good to be aboard. Good to be aboard.
We understand that you have a brand new poem.
I have an opening day poem. Would you like to hear it?
I would love to hear it.
The long snowbound winter casts a dark pall till one day an umpire hollers play ball. Then skies start to brighten, blue displaces gray. Baseball springs eternal, it's opening day. The birds start to sing. The trees are in bloom. The umpire is dusting home plate with his broom. It's a brand new beginning, something we all cheer. It's baseball's way of Happy New Year. And then there's another line in there. And baseball playing, it's a Happy New Year. And it goes on and on. Whatever.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, not very good. Not very good.
Somebody said there should be a booth at Logan with a sign that says, ask me about Fenway. And then when the tourists all inquire, they just get Fred yelling, it's a dump!
It's a dump. It is. It's a horrible dump.
Or at least just make the third baseline face home plate.
No, that's
what I would like. Line of sight.
You want the right field corner to face home plate. At least down the left field line, it's kind of that way.
No, yeah, right field.
Right field is the problem.
Anything past first base and right field.
Yeah, that's where you're looking at the outfield. You're staring at the outfield.
Staring at the bullpen.
Next to Tampa, it's the worst baseball park in the league. All right, the Buffalo Bills.
Well, I think the Oakland A's. Oakland is worse.
I'd rather go to Oakland.
No, you wouldn't.
I would much rather.
No.
I would rather go to Oakland.
Oakland is a dump. Oakland is much worse.
Well,
Oakland has like sewage seeping into their dugouts.
It's a pile of concrete. It's awful. Trust me.
I'd rather stand in sewage. All right, we'll be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ode to John Henry, 2005. We all have dark secrets that nobody knows. This is my confession. Are you ready? Here it goes. I've killed John Henry, the son of a bitch.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Wallach found DickFlavin.com.
Yep.
The poet laureate of the Red Sox, something that every insufferably pretentious team needs.
Was that Dick Flavin we just heard from?
Yes. He was in a murderous rage.
He was.
So,
Hymn to Larry, 2006. Clown. He simply disgusted us all by peeing his pants and unleashed a mighty blast. These things are upsetting. They leave quite a scar. Larry, you scoundrel, you sneak. Is that why, you rascal, you gave me the shaft? You're full of Larry.
Okay, well, he's just not a very nice guy. What do you think about that, Mark Gemelli?
You are a dick.
Dick Flavin, yes.
Well, Dick Flavin, just hanging out on DickFlavin.com, where he's fond of writing a poem and then copying and pasting the exact same poem.
we have to go through how this kind of Wallach goes, man,
this is
Dick Flavin on his blog just wrote like this epic poem. It's like the Iliad. And, I mean, this thing is huge. And then as I went through, I was like, no. He just doesn't know how to work a blog.
I was looking for the break to see where it ended, and there was no break. So I'm like, wow, this is long. And then upon further inspection, he pasted over his poem, but he did it halfway through.
Yeah, like
he broke it up and started over again.
It's like 2 to 3 copies of the poem that he just like didn't know how to stop. Can't stop, won't stop.
All right, so this is a poem that he wrote back in 2017 called "Rest in Peace, Alex Cora." Isn't it a shame about that poor Alex Cora fellow? Yes, and he was so young too. At least we can take some comfort in the consoling words of our president. He knew what he was signing up for. Is it too premature to offer our condolences to the new Red Sox manager? Perhaps.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
No, not very good. Not very good.
Perhaps. But if history is any judge, Alex Cora signed his own death warrant the moment he put his signature on the contract to manage the Red Sox. These things never end happily. It's just a matter of time. Listen to Dick Flavin searching the bowels of misery.
And he's got dark.
Yeah. He's rest in peace, Alex Cora.
Mm-hmm.
Red Sox rhymes, verses, and curses. New York Times.
And it goes on and on. Whatever.
All right. Well, you can go ahead and buy that. It's only 224
pages. 2013. There's light at the end of the tunnel.
Then you just end it there.
Dick Flavin knows.
Man.
He sees the light. He's walking towards the light.
As someone who's been clinically dead 17 times, I can tell you that there is indeed a light, a soothing light.
What do you think of every day that comes after the one before it?
And it goes on and on. Yeah. Whatever.
It's just a walk into nothingness. All right. No commercials here, just the headline.